I don't know, after that introduction, I'm going to have to give in the offering more. I don't know what I need to do there. But thank you so much. Nancy has been a friend, and just a little backstory. It's interesting how she does these little workshops and says, you'll be speaking on this, because she knows our story, and this topic today is going to be real near and dear to our hearts as pastors and as Christians, and many years in the making. And she only allowed me 45 minutes, so I only got 8 pages of brief notes. Because when you start unlocking God's Word and unlocking God's truth, it begins to just blossom. And before you know it, you've got pages and pages of notes. And then the Holy Spirit is just knocking you on the floor and picking you back up, saying one more time. And you just sit there and say, thank you, sir, may I have another. And so it's been a long time in the making. But what's interesting is everybody who knows Nancy and the ministry here, these women, you don't mess with women. If you want something done right, you have a woman do it. Men, you can say amen too, because y'all know. And these women are filled with the Spirit of God. They walk in the under the counsel of the God Almighty, and they see and they know. And when we first met Nancy, we were invited to this home church thing, and we'll go anywhere, you know, and we always go. And so we were there, and we sat in the back, and, you know, we don't want any attention drawn to us, and we're getting ready to sneak out the back after it's all over. And she says, you, I need to talk to you. And you know when Nancy does that, you're in trouble. And so she began to prophesy over us, and she's always been, she was with, this was before we started our own ministry. And I was fighting God for 10 years, and I finally made a decision. And how many of you know that when you come into church, it's not always to get a revelation, it's get a confirmation. So it wasn't per se a church building, but it was church. And she brought the confirmation of what we were supposed to do. She, again, the dates line up, and every time we've been in transition or doing something, she shows up. And so we're going to see you February the 10th. I'm hoping no more transitions right now, you know, because, you know, one door shuts and another door opens, but sometimes it's hell in the hallway, and I got to get to the other place. So I'm done with transitions right now, right? Can we just, like, be cool and just, you know, but that's not God, because God is full of adventure, isn't he? And it is a great thing to serve God, and we're excited today about this. But my subject today is enjoy inward peace and poise. And we're talking all this year about redemptive faith. And if you have your Bibles, we'll turn with in Psalm 119. And this portion of Scripture will be 161 through 168. And this is, I want to read it in context first before we break down what the Scripture will be is actually verse 165, but I want to bring it into context first. And if you're ready, say amen. I'll be reading from the New King James. Verse 161, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word. Everybody say rejoice. I rejoice at your word, even when I don't want to hear it. I still have to rejoice. And I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I may not like the journey, but there's treasure in your word, Lord. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing, absolutely nothing, will cause them to stumble. Nothing. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. There's no testimony without a test, church. And I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. And we want to focus on verse 165 here that says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Nothing. Has anybody ever stumbled? But the word says, nothing shall cause them to stumble. And we want to unlock that today and look at it. But I want to start out by just laying some basics in this. I'm going to try not to let the preach go on it, because there's no telling what we might turn this place into if I start preaching. But we're going to teach a little bit today. And I want you to just as we go through this, I want you to start thinking in the back of your mind. Think about that term, "and nothing shall cause them to stumble." Amen? Father, we come to you today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we're here to learn. We're here to partake of your word. We're here to grow today. And Lord, we can all glean from this word today. Lord, we proclaim right now in the name of Jesus that great peace shall fall in this place on every person. I speak it over this building. I speak it over this pastor, this ministry. I speak it over every person in here, God, that great peace would fall today. So Lord, anoint our ears to hear what you would have to say today. Lord, we're ready. We're ready to partake. We're ready to receive. And Lord, we're ready to activate. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. But in this expression in Psalms 160 or 119, you see there, some of your Bibles may have this, that right before a portion of Scripture, a context of Scripture, you'll see an alphabet. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Hebrew. And I didn't break down all the Hebrew names for you because I'm Southern and we ruin Hebrew names anyway. So we're not even going to try all that stuff. You know how it is. But in here, we're going to lay some foundations. And in this, right before, does anybody see in their Bible that you see right above that is a little symbol and then the word S-H-I-N. S-H-I-N. You see that in some translations. King Jimmy may not have it, but some translations do. But this is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet and has a great significance of it. And we're not going to go in all that, but Sarah had just, she almost, when she talked about Samson tying the 300 foxes together, that's what this word actually means. It is the numeric value of 300. And when you start studying, and we can't get into numerology because we'll be here all week, but when you start studying out the 300, it really, really gets interesting, and God's cool about numbers. I mean, he is intent about our life. He's intent about what we walk through. He's intent about what we go through even, and he's watching us, and he leads us with his eyes, the Bible says, and he loves numbers, and so this significant value is 300. It is also the one letter, this shin or sin or sin, however you want to say that, that is the only letter God uses as his signature, and we've said it Shaddai or El Shaddai. And so the 300 magnifies the number 30, and it means divine perfection. His word is divine perfection. And his word is for us, as Sarah said earlier in the other one, some of you were here, some of you weren't, that his word is a light. His word directs me. His word, he lights up the path. And it represents the whole process of transformation, this little section here, the whole process of taking me from no peace to great peace, taking me from nothing inside of me, stumbling all over, groping in the darkness, not doing anything, to keeping my step in every situation and my poise wherever I go. And you've seen it, I've seen it, that people get into a storm in their life and then all of a sudden they're stumbling all around. It was the same Christian that was down here jumping up and down and praising God and turning backflips and hanging from chandeliers and all this other stuff when everything was happy and clappy. But then all of a sudden a little storm comes and they can't find their umbrella. They don't have their long coat and they're all crying and stuck in a corner because they haven't exercised the word. And the word is no good until we open up and read it, let it read us, and we come to a place in our life where we can say, this is a process of transformation. Salvation is not just sitting down and having a sinner's prayer, but we work out and walk out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that God is transforming us. He's already forgave us. He's already bought us. He's redeemed us. But now we've got to walk out the salvation. So it represents the whole process of transformation, healing, restoration, and I love this word, divine power. Divine power. And so his word is power. So in this expression, we see that God, through his word or instruction, will build hope and faith as we hear it, as we believe it, and as we trust it. Right? So let's look at this. Great peace is the first word I want to look at. Great peace are the two words. Great peace means abounding. I'm strong and abundant. Peace is where we find the word shalom. You've heard that, shalom. And it means, this word shalom means completeness. It means soundness. It means welfare. It means safety. There's a lot in this word. And I've tried to narrow it down today, but give us enough that we're challenged with it. It means I have good welfare. It means that I walk in health and prosperity, not just because I have a Benz outside, but I'm prospering everything that I go through, everything that I do. Whatever my hands touch shall prosper in the name of Jesus. I'm blessed going in and coming out in the city and in the field, that when I touch something, it succeeds. Why? Because I submitted my plans to God, and they shall succeed. Because I've got removed myself out of that, and when I walk in this great peace, I know that if I just submit to God, resist the devil's going to flee, but also submit my plans, in another verse, that I can submit my plans to him and they'll succeed. Why? Because I've removed myself out and said, God, I trust you. God, I want you. It means I'm content. Wow. If I'm walking in great peace, I'm walking in contentment. I'm walking in tranquility, and I love this one because I'm so loud all the time and boisterous. I walk in quietness. I walk in quietness. And what's that mean? It doesn't mean I shut my mouth. What it means is I shut it up long enough so I can hear him. Because if we're always running our mouth, we can't hear. Right? So we need to hush a little bit and walk in quietness before him so that he continue with his word to bring transformation, to bring healing, to bring restoration, and let his divine power come to work. In 3 John 2, we read, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. Why? Even as your soul prospers. How does my soul prosper? My soul prospers when I put God divinely in the right place and I remove myself from the pedestal. I remove myself from the spotlight. And I say, God, I can't move on another step unless you lead me. When we finally pack away our pride, and when we finally pack away all of our self-intellect, and we say, God, I'm now presenting myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service. And I'm not going to conform by my old way of thinking. And I'm not going to conform by the old heart patterns of my life. But now I'm just going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And what renews our mind? It is the Word. The Word renews our mind. When we read it, we realize, and sometimes I read stuff in the Word and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to me and I get mad at him. I'm like, why do we have to deal with this now? But I have to trust him that now I've come to a place of maturity in my life that his Word is ready to break up that soil and so that he can deposit what he wants to in my life. And he says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health, even as a soul prospers. Shalom means I have a wholeness of mind. John 16:33 from the Amplified says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Guess what? You're going to have it. Right? You're going to have it. You're going to have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous. Be confident. Be undaunted. And be filled with joy. You mean I have to have joy when I'm in tribulation? Who has joy in tribulation? Can we be honest in here? Isn't that, God, are you serious? You want me to be happy because they persecuted me, they lied on me, they did these things to me, and you want me to take joy in this? And I struggle with that. If one slaps your cheek, you offer them the other. Really, Father? Really? But you know what? It doesn't say what to do after they hit the other side. So there's a chance. There is a chance. Just go ahead and hit this one, because if I get up from this one, I'm just kidding. But he says in tribulation and distress and suffering, be courageous, be confident, be filled with joy. And we begin to understand when we walk into this principle that there's going to be tribulation. So we've got to lose that old mindset when somebody might have told us in here that if you just give your life to Jesus, everything will be okay. Anybody buy into that lie? Anybody ever heard that? And, oh, just give it. You know, they mean well, but we're setting people up for failure if we say it's just going to be all fine, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose in our life. And then people start, and sheep bite, right? Y'all are sheep, right? We're all sheep. And they bite, and it hurts. And I got to be happy because they bit me when I'm trying to feed them, and I'm praying for them, and I'm giving them my heart. And I got to be happy in this? Really, Lord? But what I found out, there's a little verse that says, vengeance is mine. Thus, y'all read that? Vengeance is mine. I'll repay. And in my own life, I've seen that to where we've poured out into people and poured out, and then somebody wants to come up and bite us. And it usually starts in your blessed assurance because you don't see them coming. And then God begins to unlock this thing and say, look, trust me. Trust me. Because in order to walk in divine peace, I need to trust God that He's got my back. Right? He shall be your foreguard and your what? Rear guard. He will go before you and create a way of favor. But there might be a little obstacle called somebody or some tribulation or some circumstance that you might have to deal with. And what I found out, because I've walked through this and I've seen God turn full circle, somebody makes something up on you and then you just trust Him. This is how you have poise and peace, is where you just say, God, if you're for me, then who can be against me? But it seems like everybody's against me right now. You said if the enemy comes in like a flood, you'll lift up a standard. I don't see any standards, God. I don't see it yet. But I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to wait for you. But I've seen this scripture work out where all of a sudden that lie was illuminated, and then God comes in there and He makes it right. Better than I could ever fight anybody. Better than I could even write anybody. Better than I could stand and plead my case. God will take care of it. So He says, in this world you will have tribulation. But be filled with joy because I've overcome the world. God didn't call us to cope. He called us to be overcomers. We're to walk in victory. And so much of the church is walking and working on the side of failure and defeat instead of working and walking on the side of victory. When you read the word and you get the word in you, you realize that Jesus said, if he that overcomes, I grant to sit at the right hand of my Father where I sit. That's a place of royalty and authority. So in this world, you'll have trouble. He said, my conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. Shalom is the essence. In essence means the peace. And it is used both as a greeting and a farewell. And when you see that, when you say shalom, what you're saying is peace, peace. Peace going in and peace coming out. And in the Hebrew alphabet, it's made up of it's built on roots. You have roots, and generally there are three consonants, and when the root appears, various vowels and additional letters will come in that. And for the word shalom, we have S, H, L, and M. And all of those have significant things, and I want to share this because if we're going to understand how to be poised in peace and how to operate and walk in peace, we need to see these. And it comes from, it means peace and well-being. The word hishtalem means it was worth it. It was worth it. Shulam, S-H-U-L-A-M, means paid for. You see where I'm going? Some of you shaking your heads already. Meshulam, M-E-S-H-U-L-A-M, means paid in advance. So let me recap. Peace, well-being, it was worth it, paid for, paid in advance, and the other for shalem, it's S-H-A-L-E-M, which means safe and peaceful. So I have safe and peaceful, paid in advance, paid for, it was worth it, and peace. All wrapped up in this one word. And you can literally be here. I have pages and pages of notes just on shalom. And it's amazing the nuggets that you can get out of this. So if we're talking about redemptive faith and redemptive peace this year, we cannot not ignore the word redeem means to purchase back, to take back, to purchase back, to liberate or to rescue from captivity or bondage, to regain possession of. In other words, God redeemed us. He brought us back from bondage that sin has placed us under. Amen. And further, sin makes a heart sorrowful. Sin makes us anxious. Sin makes us worrisome. And ultimately, sin brings us no peace. No peace. So in this word, God is saying, I want you to be in well-being because it was worth it to die for you. And I said, for it was all paid in advance. Hallelujah. What was our safety and our rest in His peace? Because if we go all the way back, and I'm trying not to preach because I want to. I want to shout and run all these backs right here. Because God wanted fellowship with Adam, and He wanted Adam back. And the only way that He could get Adam back was through the blood shed of Jesus Christ. And He says, I've got to go buy them back, praise God. I've got to go get my people back. I've got to get them. I want a fellowship with them, praise God. And He says, how can we do it? Only by the spotless, redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. One drop, though our sins were as scarlet, He shall wash us as white as snow. It is the blood of Jesus that He says, I want you back. You are worth it. I'm going after you. You're my prize being. Before the foundations of the world began, Ephesians 1, I knew you and I called you for my good pleasure. So I want you back, Adam. Praise God. So I'm bringing you peace because the only way that we know we need Him is because we're groping in the darkness and we're trying to figure this out. If we didn't need Jesus, then we would be perfect, right? But then we would be God. So we're not God and we're not perfect, but we're groping around in the darkness because we need peace and there's a void inside of us. And He says, I got enough to fill your void and everybody around you. Praise God. Redemptive peace. Shalom. You are worth it. I paid a price for you. You are bought with a price. And I bankrupt heaven through my Son, Jesus Christ, so that you would be saved and know me and the power of my resurrection. Shalom. Great peace. Great peace. Hallelujah. Sin separates us, makes us enmity or angry or enemies of God. We have no peace. But He says, I come to give you peace. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7 reads, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They don't know anything else. They don't know anything else. But they are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The second word is love. Those that love His word. This word love is ahav, which means simply a friend or a lover. I'm a friend or a lover of the word. In other words, when I love the law, which we'll get to it in just a moment, I'm a friend of the word and I'm a lover of the word. I have intimacy with the word. In Psalm 119, verse 140, it says, "Your word is very pure, very pure." Another translation will say, "Your word is refined." Or another translation says that your word has been tried. Therefore, your servant loves it. Why does your servant love it? Because it tries. God's word works, doesn't it? If you're battling in something and you begin to confess the word and you tie that with your faith and you trust it and you believe it, hasn't it worked for us? So it's been tried and true. And it says your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. The third one is law. Law is God's direction. It's His instruction. It's where we get the Torah from, the law. It's also God's judgment and His promises, His statutes, and again, that word testimonies. And before they even had the word, they wrote the promises out on staffs. The shepherd would write down accounts of what God would do, and they wrote them on scrolls, and they passed it down. And when God spoke, they would hang on every word, and they loved it. It's His promises. It's His instruction. It's the written word, and this blows some religious people up. It may not even be in the Bible what God speaks to you, but it'll always be backed up in Scripture. The truth will. I love to hear people who will say, "Well, the Bible doesn't talk about rapture." Well, okay, caught up. All right, let's talk about it. Let's break that one down. But God will also speak to us, not a verse, but just, you know, for me, I like to cut up and have fun, okay? And laughter doeth the heart good like medicine, so just get over it. I'm taking medicine. So, you don't like my jokes, I'll laugh at my own self because I'm my own comedy act. So, I'll even pay a ticket to watch me. So, where was I with this? I'm laughing. It's funny. Just everything's funny. But God has an ultimate, just an awesome sense of humor, doesn't He? And it's so funny. People get really uptight, you know, when I say God said this. But then they'll look at it and say, you know what? That's the truth. And God just speaks to me with one-liners, punchlines. Matter of fact, just something, today ends my 21-day fast. I get to eat something finally. But we led our church this year in fasting, and the first thing I said was, "Lord, what do you want to fast?" And here's how I heard it. "You're fasting everything, and you're starting now, big boy." That was it, because I like spicy food, and I like to eat late, which makes you have bad dreams, okay? And you get acid reflux, right? So I'm starting to suffer from OLD, and some of you will get that in a minute. And I'm just praying, and I said, "God, what do you want me to do?" And He says, "You're fasting everything. You're starting right now, big boy." That's how God will speak to me. Is that in the Bible? I haven't found big boy yet. I do. So if we read big boy in the Bible, somebody probably says, "Oh, well, that was the Shoney's." Y'all seen those Shoney's big boys that they used to have? But how many in here, God spoke to you something, but you couldn't say it was in the Bible? Anybody? Okay. But then when God speaks, it's always confirmed in the Word. And out of the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses. So I love His Word. I love when somebody speaks to me. When you get prophecy, you take that, and Sarah had shared it in a group that we had here this morning. She wasn't doing anything that a man's prophesied, a pastor prophesied over her, but yet she just submitted it to prayer. And let's not treat prophecy like a horoscope. Right? Prophesying is important. It's needed. Edification through prophecy is important and needed. But what happens is if it doesn't line up and doesn't bear witness with us in the Word, we need to quietly, politely, thank you very much, walk away, run, and wash yourself real quick. Just kidding. But you just want to just discard it, let it go. But God will confirm His Word in us. And that's what I tell people is when you get into church, church is not for our one once a week learning, but it's to bring confirmation of what we've already studied. And I stole this from another pastor because pastors are stealers. You know, they rip off other pastors. But he said, I'm always trying to give people building blocks to build a foundation, but the people keep losing the bricks. Right? So you got to get it together, but to come in, and if I'm studying all week God's Word, then to come in here together when we're edified together, because we love the Word so much, the Word begins to be spilled out all over the place. And then you're like, my goodness, I just read that this week. Right? I just read that. And it brings confirmation. And His Word never returns void. His Word is never off. His Word is never wrong. Sometimes God will speak to us a word and it seems wrong. I've had those arguments with God. Come again. You want me to what? You want me to say what? Am I by myself? And God will speak to me things and I'm like, you didn't say that. How do I do this? And then He doesn't say anything else. Right? And He'll stop at that until we graduate. But I love His Word. It brings me instruction. It brings me direction. And when I'm off alone and it seems like all hell and all darkness is pressing down on me, it's His Word that's the life rope that pulls me back up. When I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do and where to turn, His Word begins to illuminate my direction. He starts to give me instructions through His Word, and He starts showing me, this is what you need to do. Take these steps. He told Paul, knocks Paul off a horse, and he says, go to Cornelius' house. Take off. Boy's blind, fasted for 3 days, don't know where he's going, and who is Cornelius? And God says, and God didn't tell him anything else. And he had to go for his next assignment. And see, God will speak to us the same word for years and years and years until we graduate. Then He'll have the next one. And why do you think God does that? Because we end up taking the back part of that and say, well, we'll just do all this first and we don't have to go through all those other steps. But this is what I want to get to here. It says, nothing shall offend them. Offense or offending means a stumbling block, to stumble, to fail, to fall, to be feeble at the knees, to be weak in your stance, to make weak. I can't hold up my arms anymore. That's all right. We've got them for you. We'll hold them up for you. It means that I may fail or be overthrown or be cast down. Somebody said somewhere around the New Testament, I've been broken down but not destroyed, persecuted but not abandoned. Y'all heard that one? Paul knew what it was, didn't he? It comes against me. It means that I could be overthrown, The meaning here is this, that they will not fall into sin. That's what this means. You won't fall into sin. You might lose your step for a moment, but you don't fall into sin. They would be kept safe, that they would be preserved by the power of temptation. It doesn't mean that we might experience pain. Amen? It doesn't mean that there will be no affliction, right? Jesus said it rains on the just and the unjust. You'll have tribulation. It doesn't mean that you'll be free of irritations, principalities and personalities. You know, that one person that you just, when they call, you're like, mm-mm. No, what do they want? When you walk down the hall and they come in the door and you just, it's nice architecture here. I think I'll go out this door. You know what I'm talking about? But irritants create pearls. The way you get a pearl from the bottom of the ocean is that a clam decided to chew on some irritations and produces a pearl. And sometimes God will allow those irritants in our life so that it seems like a stumbling block, but if we trust Him, it's a stepping stone. So you have to take your irritations and say, all right, why is this person in my life? What eternal significance does this have, God? That's what I say. And what do I need to learn from it? Because if I truly trust God and I want to walk in great peace, and I truly trust His word that He says, I have set you for such a time as this, that you're going to do this, and this is going to happen. And when these irritants come in, we need to have the maturity in the Lord to say, Lord, I trust what your word said. Because so many wishy-washy Christians, including me sometimes, says, God, I forgot that you told me, and I need to be reminded, because everything that seems to be going on right now is not what I wanted or signed up for. Right? I have authority to talk about peace today because I went through some hell in my life. I went through some tribulation. I went through some torment in my life, and now I can graduate a little bit. I've not arrived because now I got college. Right? There's going to be another test. There's going to be another situation where the Word tries us. And just because we can quote five scriptures doesn't mean we graduated. We got to now live them out. Don't be hearers of the Word, but be doers, and that's all of it. But God promised that He would never allow more on us than we could handle. But boy, where is our threshold of pain sometimes? But He always seems to give us a grace and a space of grace for what we're to battle. Every time. It's almost like God knew it would happen. And Job, He trusted you. He believed in you. He poured into you. He gave you the word, and it won't return void. And He strengthened you, and He graced you in this dispensation of grace that we live in. And He says, I'm going to watch my word that it performs well. Praise God. Nothing shall offend you. As long as we're obedient to the law or word, we now trust no matter what we face that God will always make a way from the snare of the fowler. He would never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. I'll never leave you. Really, Lord? Are you just walking like far away back? I mean, can you just come up here with me a little bit? If you're my rear guard, my fore guard, you must be way, way ahead and way far back, because it seems like I'm out here all alone. But He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. If we trust the Word and have faith in what He is saying and has said, we see His redemption at work. If we wait, though the vision waits, it tarries. So wait for it. What are you microwave Christians? You want it all right now. Just wait. God's a crock pot. Stuff good in a crock pot. I don't know. You get like frozen stuff in a microwave, that's no good. You put some roast in there, y'all can tell I'm hungry. Hallelujah. Put a roast in there, you get some good eating, right? So let's put this together. When we're in love with His Word and we embrace it, when we hear His Word, faith comes alive, right? You ever been in a dark time in your life and all of a sudden a word from God steps in and it changes you? You're still in the same dungeon. You have the same Eeyore rain cloud over you following you everywhere you go. You have the same darkness that seems to be around you, but yet something changed on the inside. That's faith activated. So faith comes by hearing what is told and heard, and it comes by what? Preaching. Declaring. Preaching is declaring. I'm declaring. You can preach to yourself, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God through amplified preaching. So if nobody's going to celebrate with you or have a pity party with you, you got to get the Word on it. If you're going through a battle and you're going through sickness, what does God say about healing? And you got to stand there right in the mirror and you got to anoint your own self with oil sometimes. Sometimes when the enemy's in or all around you and it seems like he's crowding down on you, sometimes you got to just lay flat on the floor and just begin to preach to yourself. I am blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out in the city. If God be for me, who can be against me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You just got to keep preaching to yourself. And faith comes when the Word is preached. Preach, honey, preach. I mean, shout it down. I have done that in my house, be walking around my house and say, Lord, you said in your Word this. And Paul's standing in front of his accuser, Agrippa, and he says, I think myself happy. Right? He's preaching right there. There's no high like the Most High. There's no joy than what the Lord Jesus Christ has given me. There's joy in my life, and I just think myself happy. You're going to accuse me, but I'm bought. I'm redeemed with a price. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to stand here and take your offense because nothing shall harm me. Praise God. So I'm preaching myself. I know that I've been bought back. I don't have it all together. Because those that have it all together, what? Forgot where they put it. Right? I'm almost finished. Hallelujah. When hope is activated, it brings forth faith, which leads to trust. Right? Faith without works is alive. It's dead. Trust in who? Him. Trust in His Word, because He's always speaking the truth. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard your heart and mind, that's one of my favorite scriptures. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your reasonableness be known to everyone by the Lord that's at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Y'all like this? But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, right? Sisters and sisters. Finally, brothers and sisters and sisters. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, and guess what? All of these are found in the counsel of His Word. Right? Justice is found in His Word. Pure, lovely, commendable. If there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have heard and received and heard, seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. There's your key. You want the peace of God? Here it is. That's easy, isn't it? So we understand that the battle is the minefield. So we got to pull down every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So then once we move that out of the compartment, now we start thinking, oh, God, your Word says this. They say I'm sick, but you say I'm healed. They say I'm bound, but you say I'm free. They say I'm lost, but they don't know anything about salvation. I'm free as I can be in you. When my mind's fixed, my faith is activated, and my hope is now fixed on him and his word, and that's when my trust in him comes alive and what he's promised. Wholeness of mind and spirit means that all of these parts are joined together and my heart is at rest. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits. That's a whole nother teaching. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Peace. Come on, y'all can do this. It's self-control. Hallelujah. When I walk in peace, I have self-control, right? I don't fly off the handle at somebody that wants to tell me something. Inner peace is saying that every circumstance is temporary. Numbers 23:19. We just laid a friend of mine to rest the other day, and this was his favorite verse. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or he has spoken, he will not make it good or fulfill it. In other words, God's intent in our life is to bless us. He doesn't lie. He doesn't fail. He doesn't falter. He doesn't stumble. And he does exactly what he says. You guys have been awesome today. I'm going to leave you with this final verse. My time is gone already. Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice, law, word, direction, instruction of the Lord thy God, to observe it. I'm holding on to it. I'm going to do it because I don't even want to do it sometimes, Lord. I'm going to still do it. And all your commandments, word, law, instructions, directions, at which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. We were brought into the garden for dominion, right? So he says, I need to put you right back in your place. Because if we put God in his place, he puts us in our right place, not below Satan, above Satan. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed be in the city, blessed will you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, increase of thy kind. Your family kind can be even increased. The flocks of thy sheep, blessed shall be the basket of thy store, blessed shall be when you come in, going out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against you and be smitten before thy face. Hallelujah. The teacher's coming. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. But I'm in peace, sister. Hallelujah. They shall come out against thee one way and flee seven ways. Praise God. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee and thy storehouses and all that you set your hand to do. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord gave you. That's dominion. That's dominion. He shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, and has sworn unto thee, if thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Huh? Why are you afraid of them? David said, deliver me from the fear of man. He will make you plenteous in goods, and the fruit of your body, fruit of your cattle, and all thy ground, and the land which he swore that he would give the fathers. The Lord shall open thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto the land in season, and bless the work of your hands. This is all when we walk in divine peace and poise, when we understand and grip and take a hold of his word, and we don't let it go no matter what season that we're in, and we hold on to his word. He said the enemies will come in. He said it's going to happen, but I'm going to cause them right when it seems they're going to get in your grill. They're going to disperse. Praise God. And he says, finally, I command this day to observe all of them. And we're going to have adversity in our life. But let's just be ready for it, right? Don't expect it. Job said, the thing I expected, the worst came on me. I mean, don't just kind of like walk around and say, is that the one? You know, I don't want you to be scared and looking under every bush for a devil and all that stuff. But you need to understand, they're going to come against me because the world hates you. Satan hates you, right? So when they come up, we're ready for it. And when a storm comes, we know because we've been in the Word and we're students of the Word and we've allowed the Word to direct us and instruct us, then it doesn't catch us off. He said, be sober and be vigilant. Be sober-minded because the enemy will come in like a roaring lion. But put on your earmuffs. Praise God. Put on your earmuffs and allow God, His Word, to speak to you louder than the enemy. Amen? Has this been all right? Has this helped anybody? Praise God. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Come on now, praise Him like you believe it. Amen. Glory.